Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And we're going to challenge you to transform your financial future through the principles of the most profitable business in the world, banking.
We believe everyone should be involved in two businesses, the business that you're in and the banking business. Everyday people can replicate what bankers have been doing for centuries to leverage capital and build wealth through private lending.
Join us as we uncover the truths about money, expose lies and myths, and flip conventional financial advice on its head. Here we go.
Hey, good to see you, Paul. All scruffed up.
Yeah, haven't shaved in several days.
Yeah, good for you.
And I'm a bit more tan, if you can't tell.
Yeah? Yeah, well, not really. Can't.
I got scorched the other day.
Yeah. So tell us about your trip. Where were you?
Yeah, so we were in Turks and Caicos at one of the beaches there. You know, it's part of like the Sandals, but like for families and stuff. And got the kids certified in scuba diving.
Oh, nice.
Which was cool. It was super cool seeing like little kids down there, you know, doing all their skills and taking the academics and then being totally comfortable in the ocean with all the stuff going down and just, yeah. They saw a shark in their first dive too. It took me 16 years to see one.
Really? Was it just
shallow?
Yeah,
I've never seen one.
Down to 50 feet or what? How low they go?
They can go to 40. And yeah. Then for the next year, we're going to get them, they're going to do the next two chapters and then do their regular open water. So they're just like junior open water or something, or junior scuba or something. So next year they'll do another 20 feet. They'll be good.
All right. Well, just don't let them get wreck dive qualified because life insurance will be too expensive.
Yeah. Well, I already, we've already guided them on that yeah. action. So.
Yeah. Well, nice, man. Nice. Yeah. It was, weather's you finally nice here.
You went to Kansas though, right?
I did. I went to see some family, took the boys back home, saw my mom's sister and a bunch of aunts and uncles, cousins, but it was like 40 degrees warmer in Kansas than it was here.
Wow.
So it was a great weekend.
Yeah. There was a bunch of people from your neck of the woods, actually.
From Minnesota?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Minnesota, Iowa, Indiana, Ohio,
yep.
Michigan. North Dakota.
Gotta escape this weather. Get down to the warm stuff. Yeah. I need that. Lucky you, man. Well, I'm back at
going
work.
Again next year, week after Easter. You know, we leave on Good Friday, so.
Yeah, I think I think we're gonna start planning spring break next year already. You really have to.
You have to.
To go where you want to go.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but no, I'm looking forward to the Bahamas in June. So that's only 2 months away.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good trip.
Yeah, it is. Right on. Well, so we were talking before this and just about straight up life insurance.
Yeah.
Right. This is an infinite banking podcast and we always talk infinite banking, which utilizes the product of life insurance. But one thing that it doesn't get missed, but it's not the emphasis of this concept, is the actual life insurance piece to it, right? So we were talking just the life insurance alone. You know, we both read the same book lately, and it really sparked some ideas and some thoughts on this. One of the best, the best quotes from that book is, I'll ask the question first. What's the best investment in the world? You know, I think people would have a lot of different answers.
Yeah, there's, I rattle off some attributes, right? Something that's guaranteed, something that's there when I need it.
Tax-free.
No tax would be nice.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
All kinds of different things. But this book says the best investment in the world is what?
Something that creates cash when you need it.
Yeah.
Basically.
It's the one that pays out the most when you need it the most. Yeah. That's the best investment in the world, which could be anything by accident, possibly. Maybe a great investment, say in 2019 was the, or say 2018 might've been to get a 3-year lease on a car. Because 3 years later,
right,
the car company would actually pay you for that car.
That's right.
You make more money than you owe on it. Or you could buy it out and then go sell it for more. That was a great investment.
Yeah. And that did happen. It was crazy.
Yeah, I know plenty of people who their car was worth.
Do you want this?
Yeah. The dealer would buy it back for more than they could. Yeah. It was amazing. But, you know, that was luck. For us, the best investment in the world is the one that pays out the most when you need it the most.
Yep.
And one thing that's guaranteed to do that is whole life insurance. Permanent life insurance guaranteed to pay out. You know, you're paying pennies on the dollar for it now. It's going to pay out and create cash for you later when your family needs it the most.
Right. When the last thing that people want to think about is when you're upset and sad, right, mm-hmm. is, uh-oh. How long is that emergency fund going to last?
Right. And that's quite the emergency, especially if it's the breadwinner that graduates.
Right. And we were talking before we hit record, we've seen it. I saw it with a high school classmate. And then you see, and I think everyone can relate to this probably over the last few years, is they've seen a GoFundMe page for somebody, whether it was a disaster in this state from, you know, natural disaster, like a fire or flood or whatever, or mm-hmm. it was something else. But those, what's a GoFundMe for? To create cash.
Yeah. What's life insurance for?
Create cash.
To create cash. Plain and simple. If anybody ever says, what's the purpose of life insurance? It's to create cash. Right. It's the only thing in the world that creates cash other than the Federal Reserve. None of us.
In a different way.
In a different way. Yeah.
Uninflated life, dollars.
Yeah. Life insurance, no kidding, creates cash. Stock market, you have to have cash to get it to earn more, and hopefully you end up with more than what you put in.
Right. That's where, you know, money can make money, I suppose, mm-hmm. right, is the way to look at that. But you remove, you know, there's no, and I like the way we think about this, is that how much is certainty worth to you, right? The economic value of certainty. That comes with owning a permanent life insurance. And I know universal life is characterized as permanent, but for this discussion, it's not. We're talking about whole life insurance, whether it's non-participating or participating, you know, dividend paying, non-dividend paying, right? We're talking about whole life.
Yeah. Something that's guaranteed to be there.
It will pay out. It will certainly pay out.
Yep. No matter how long you live to be. So I had another story just recently. I was talking to a friend, somebody I work with, in another endeavor. But he had a mother-in-law who's living with him and his wife right now, you know, and their kids, taking over one level of their home because, you know, the father-in-law just passed, didn't have a trust set up or anything like that. So, you know, everything's a mess. So they're trying to hunt down documents, trying to get, you know, become co-signers or co-owners on the accounts and all that, so they can help mom out.
Oh boy.
And, you know, one thing dad didn't leave was adequate life insurance. Now, if dad would have just left adequate life insurance and you had, you know, sitting on $1 million cash or more, I think it would make all those other problems much easier to handle. It would make grieving easier. It would make the family situation. The sad thing is, I don't know how oftentimes end of life care for a family member, like, just can wreck families.
Oh yeah. I watched my old boss go through it with his folks the last couple of years. Just horrific.
Yeah, because getting all siblings on the same page, everybody forking over their share of the cost for mom or dad, and, you know, somebody's got them living at their house, and they're not being adequately compensated.
That's right.
So there's probably a lot of resentment that could get built up there. But man, what if the breadwinner, what if the key person in that family had adequate life insurance? Imagine how many problems that solves. I like Dan Sullivan says, if you have the money to solve a problem, you don't have a problem.
Right.
Think about that. If you have the money to solve a problem, you really don't have a problem. It's like if my air conditioner goes out, I don't have a problem if I got the money to replace it.
Yeah, and it's probably still under warranty.
Right. Yeah. It'll go out right, you know, the next month.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's right. Year 11, it'll break, right?
Yeah.
So that brings up an excellent point of, you know, how this product creates cash when we most need it. And people try to substitute for it, though, don't they? They, mm-hmm. I don't need that. And I've had this discussion with friends of ours, you know, that are really close with, and it's like, okay, you know, we always say, hey, we don't chase anybody. We know what we know. Everything they think they know just ain't so, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's,
yeah.
You can't lead a horse to water, I guess.
No, you can't. But let's talk more about that key person. So key person insurance is another type of insurance that a lot of businesses may have.
Sure.
So
yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah. We did a full episode on business life insurance early on. So it's probably in the 20s or 30s or something of the episode count. But key person, there's often a key person in every business.
Sure.
So that business is generating cash, which is paying the owner, which is taking care of their family. But in most very successful businesses, the business owner isn't the one doing the day in, day out work. It's a key person. It's another individual inside that business that if they lost that person, that key salesperson, that key operator, it would be pretty devastating and it would take them a long time to recover, to find somebody else. And, you know, it would cost the business money. So there's a little thing a business owner can get called key man policy, key man insurance, where you can actually take out insurance on that key person in case they meet their untimely demise. The key person walks out, cash walks in. And that doesn't solve the problem of everything that key person did, but it sure, you know, gives you a big buffer and it takes a lot of the load off.
It does. And it provides time.
Yeah.
Right. And if we're talking, you know, the key person could be the owner. The key person could be a business partner. And when that one partner goes, maybe he's the day-to-day and the other guy is the, you know, the idea guy or something, right? Well, right. If the day-to-day guy goes, if he graduates, now we have, well, what cash is being used to buy out his family?
Right.
Their share of the business, right? So there's all these things that folks need to think about. So we decided today, folks, to kind of relate your family finances as pretend the breadwinner in your home is the key person in the family business, the family financing business, right? So he generates or she generates the bulk of the income. If he were a machine, I'm going back to past episodes here, but if he were a money printing machine, right? Mm-hmm. You would insure that money printing machine.
Right. If that money printing machine was printing the money that your family lived off every year and funded your lifestyle,
right,
how much would you insure that machine for if it was printing off 200 grand a year for you? For as much as possible, for as long as possible.
Correct.
But certainly until you no longer need that machine to be creating that income for you. So let's say that, you know, arbitrary retirement age is 65.
Yeah.
So if you're 45 years old, printing off 200 grand a year, you need it to work for 20 more years. So you better insure that machine for at least 20 times 200 grand, so $4 million.
Yeah.
Right? That because that's what you expect that machine to do for you. It's exactly what the key person in the family does. Correct. And I would argue there's going to be, you know, as you would agree to, the key person isn't only, there's not just one key person.
That's right.
So if you have, you know, if you're married and you have kids, there's certainly two key persons, even if only one of them is the money printing machine.
Yep.
The other one is supporting everything else.
Yeah. The other one is spending the money. No, I'm just kidding. No, but the other person is, and we've talked about that.
Maintaining that machine. They're feeding
that's right.
it. They're doing the mechanical nurturing work it on they're, it. Yeah. They're putting all the, you know, ordering the cartridges and you know, everything else that's needed to keep that machine going.
No question.
And focusing on what it does best, which is printing money.
Yeah. And I like that discussion with folks in the process, right? Where the question comes up and it's like, yes, like if it's a husband and a wife, and she's the operations manager of the home. Mm-hmm. If you were to lose her there, Dad, well, my gosh, your expenses to take care of these four children would go through the roof, wouldn't they? Outside of, you know, family support and all that kind of stuff from other yep. people, but some people don't have that at all.
And how effective are you going to be at earning money?
Right.
In the near term.
Right. All these things that people just, glaze over, I guess. I don't know.
Oftentimes it's something people just haven't thought of, because nobody likes to think of those scenarios.
Sure.
It's morbid. It's sad.
It is.
So people intentionally avoid those kind of discussions and scenarios, but you know, everybody's got somebody close to them who's died over the last 5 to 10 years unexpectedly.
Sure.
Like if you don't, you must not have any friends. Because it's happened.
Yep.
Right. Somebody close to you, somebody in that family has left too early and created a void. And it could happen to any one of us. Do you have a lease on life?
No.
No. Me neither. So you know?
Nope.
A lot of bad drivers out there. None of them is me. But there's a lot of bad ones on the road. Who knows what they can do?
I'm surrounded by them.
Yeah.
One of these pet peeves I have is these people that leave like 20 car length gaps at a stoplight.
Yeah.
So it like messes up all the people behind them. I see it constantly, like every day. Anyway, sorry.
I harp on my boys when I'm teaching them to drive.
Yeah.
Like, don't ever tailgate anybody except at a left turn. A left turn, you better be on their butt, because you got to get as many cars through that intersection as possible in the 30 seconds that light is green. And if you're not, I'm yelling at you. Like, you better be up on their tailgate. Yeah.
And for God's sakes, get off your phones, people.
Yeah.
Oh, I watched it happen the other day. The lady left, it was a left arrow, and she's, you know, she's so important. She has to text somebody because she can't sit there for a minute and a half without looking at her phone. And sure enough, she screwed like five cars behind her, and she didn't make it either.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're so overstimulated. It's like, we can't sit for 30 seconds without doing something. Have to be doing something.
Right.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
So
it was nice to just unplug, you know, put it down. Anyway, I digress. We digress.
Yeah. So
what life insurance provides people, Dave, right, is time. We work with some talented people. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about, you know, people are talented, military people, government workers, business owners, clinicians, right? Medical people, pilots, of course.
Yeah.
You know, people that are super talented in their own right.
Yep.
And then they come to us to kind of provide the expertise for what we're discussing today. So, and when you make them realize how much they're actually worth, what their human life value is, it becomes a real discussion. Like, most people have not thought about, yeah, they've got their emergency fund, they've got some other things, whatever, but they've never thought, how long can my family of four or five or whatever it is live in the same capacity they are now if my income were to vanish overnight?
Yeah, I would ask people, have you amassed enough, call it net worth or passive income or just accumulated capital, for you and your family to live off for the rest of your life? The answer is going to be no, because if it was yes, then why are you still working? Maybe you'd be retired by now.
Right.
Right.
But maybe doing your charitable thing or doing something other than laboring for a wage.
Exactly. So the answer is most likely no to anybody listening. And if that's the case, what happens if you don't have that much time left, if you don't have the next 20 years to do that, what's going to happen with your family? So when a man needs time, he needs life insurance. That's what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. And a brilliant person said that. My goodness.
Yep.
But it's such a simple way to think about it, but it makes so much sense. And we've often said in this podcast, okay, if if the infinite banking concept and dividend paying whole life, if this whole process and the product isn't for you, everybody should have convertible term insurance as much as they can possibly afford to buy.
Yep.
Up until they're in full human life value. So if you're a 40-year-old guy, 20 or gal, 25 times your income. That's how much death benefit you should have.
Yeah.
So again, maybe there's some people out there that haven't jumped on the infinite banking concept. They just don't get it. We'll never get it, whatever. But by all means, get yourself underwritten for some convertible term, because I have had conversations lately where, you know, people that I knew as young, you know, healthy 20 something year olds, well, at age 35, you know, get some sort of cancer, or age 32, leukemia, cancer from, you know, various sorts. And it just, you're healthy one day, you get your medical exam that year, your physical, and hey, there's something a little bit off with your blood work.
Yep. One of my best friends, his wife got cancer like 3 or 4 years ago. He's just a little bit older than me, lost a really close family friend when she was 29.
You know, yes.
Cancer within a year, gone.
Yeah. And, you know, for Tammy's family, it hit home back in like the 80s. A couple of her aunts died within about a year of each other in mid early 30s. And, you know, left children, you know, six total behind. Right. And so it does happen. But by all means, convertible term, that is a no brainer. I mean, this is a no brainer. IBC is a no brainer, but convertible term is it's another no brainer.
100%. And even a supplement of convertible term, because likely your first whole life policy is not going to create enough cash.
It's value. Not going to be enough.
I mean, not enough death benefit.
Yeah.
Certainly not enough unless you're paying, 30% of your income in premium.
Right.
So.
And that's okay, right? We use a combination of whole life, which gets larger every year. Every year we pay that premium, the cash value increases, the death benefit increases, but we have a gap between our human life value and how much whole life premium and how much whole life death benefit we can actually create, right? Eventually, I mean, they're going to get closer, but until that time where they meet, I bridge the gap with term. And it's great. Peace of mind.
And it's temporary, right?
Yep.
But the problem is permanent.
Yeah. Right?
You're going to die.
It's a permanent problem. And somebody's going to need cash.
Yeah.
And I've matured on this over the years. I think we probably both have, where when I was younger, even when we had little kids, I didn't think about the next generation after that, really.
Like grandkids?
Like great grandkids. And now that I see, hey, maybe not all the grandkids are going to be super healthy.
Right. Yeah.
How many kids have
autism these days that need lifelong care? They have to live with their parents. I got a good buddy who he finally got a whole life policy. He's had some other things in place, like a survivor benefit plan from the military, right? That can stay with a special needs child for the rest of their life. But it's not that much. There's no substitute for life insurance, period. There's no substitute. Permanent life insurance that's gonna, a big lump sum that can certainly, put that in a trust and that can take care of his daughter. So now he knows she's gonna be fine. At least financially speaking, live a comfortable life with good care.
Right.
No matter what happens to him or when it happens.
Yeah. folks, the more you learn about this product and just overall the problems of life, they don't really go away. And nobody is going to be like, shucks, we have this, Grandpa Dave left us an extra, $5 million. Like,
yeah,
what do we do? No one's going to be thinking like that. It creates options, it creates certainty, it creates guarantees. And I know there's concerns for some folks, I don't want to spoil the next generation or
you don't have to
whatever. You don't have to, right?
Yeah.
You control this asset, right? And you can decide who it goes to or what asset, what
and type how of, it's how it's how delivered, it's,
all that stuff,
right?
But if we do our jobs, I think, and educate the next generation and the generation after that, and lead by example, they're going to be worthy of receiving an inheritance.
Yeah.
And let's face it, when that happens, like if I'm in my 90s and I die, my kids are in their 60s. I mean, if they haven't figured it out by then,
yeah,
they're not going to.
Well, and face it, most Americans haven't by the time they're 60. What is Earl Nightingale? You read The Strangest Secret. He's like, you know, everybody starts off at age 25 thinking I'm going to be a success.
Yeah.
But they get to age 65. Only 5% of them are financially secure.
Yeah. So I was listening to this local rate. I don't know if it's a local radio program, but it's about mainly about government employees. And I actually enjoy it because the guy actually does advocate for life insurance. And he's talking about this tax problem that people are going to have when they retire from their federal, you know, maybe they're retired military, then they did another federal job for 15 or 20 years. So they have this other pension, but all of their wealth, the bulk of their wealth is in traditional IRAs and the TSP, right? In this case.
Yeah.
And he's saying basically like in this book, hey, there's a certain percentage of that accumulated wealth that isn't yours. And let's say you're 65 and this example today, he's like, well, you want to go buy a $500,000 yacht.
Wow.
And I was like, well, it's going to be used. It's going to be 20 years old, but that's fine. But he's like, do you know how much you'd have to liquidate out of that TSP, that traditional account? 900,000.
Wow.
To get 500.
Yeah.
Because you're just bumping yourself.
That'll go
up
quick.
And, you know, all the tax brackets, right? So,
yeah.
And I'm sitting there driving with Anthony. I'm like, well, we're not going to have to worry about that, are we? To a smaller extent, we've got some money in TSP, but the bulk of our wealth is now being put in a place where I don't have to worry about the tax man coming in and getting it.
Yeah.
At least up to a certain level, right?
Right. Or changing the rules on it.
Or changing the rules.
Between now and then. Yeah. So again, there's no substitute for life insurance. You know, we work with a lot of people who are in real estate investment. You know, they invest in real estate and they've got a lot of different assets. I mean, you've got several houses. And the common mantra from a lot of them is, well, I've got enough assets that my family will be fine. Okay. Are those assets guaranteed? You know, how complicated is that going to be at that time? Are they going to want to keep those houses and be the landlord on all those properties? Are they going to want to take over? Do they know that business at all? Period.
Well, that's the thing. Are they the business?
Yeah.
Or were you the business?
Were you the business? Are you the key man? And they're just the benefactors.
Right. And it's everyone's case is going to be different, but let's face it. A lot of businesses don't survive the first generation. They vanish. I mean, the entire Vanderbilt family, which is one of the wealthiest families ever, vanished in two generations.
Well, a lot of them don't want to do the same business as their old man, maybe, because they saw maybe how miserable he was or something, or you know, how hard he worked, how much he was never around, and they don't want to be like that. So they want to go a different route. So I know people in the restaurant business, nobody passes a restaurant on to their kids because
it's rare.
100% do not want that restaurant.
It's rare because that is a labor of love and that's a lot. Yeah. Right. And let's face it, regardless of what it is, does it create cash right now? Does someone walk in the door and, you know, liquidate all these apartments or all these
for restaurants top dollar.
Or for top dollar?
Like you got to get top dollar. Like they may say one thing on paper, but it's only worth how much somebody's willing to pay for it. And if they know you're in a pinch.
That's right.
You know, there's some sharp elbows
50 cents
out there
that the
negotiate. And you know, then you got to get agreement from everybody in the family to settle on that price. I mean, my dad, had to argue with his brothers to sell his parents' house when their parents passed finally, both of them, you know, after grandma passed, you know, and then you got one brother who's like living in California, cheapest man in the world. And he's like,
cheaper than you?
Cheaper than me.
He's the cheapest man in the world.
Not just cheap, but like, you know, selfishly cheap.
Yeah, selfishly cheap.
So I'm like,
Dave's not cheap, guys.
Yeah.
He's just frugal.
But yeah, responsible, fiscally responsible.
Fiscally responsible.
You know, but my dad's brother is arguing with him about the market, you know, what to list the house at. No, while he's living in California, not having anything to do with this house, and my dad's renovating and doing all the stuff at, you know, so you got that kind of stuff going on, and that that ruins relationships.
It does, yeah. And that's you know, life insurance, right? You, the policy owner, you decide to whom the benefit goes. It could be multiple people, it could be an entity,
it could be different amounts charity, to multiple people, it could
be different amounts to people, different percentage, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't create any of these issues. It's just,
yeah, you walk out,
life insurance company is going to give you this. That's right. You walk out, cash walks in. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Without tax.
Yeah. Without
the tax. If there is some sort of tax bill, because maybe you've been delaying taxes, right? So that's the other thing with these retirement accounts, Dave. And I've known people that have inherited their parents' traditional accounts. And then, you know, they keep changing the rules where you have 10 year, you know, you can delay taking it for 10 years. Right. Now you got to take income off it. Now that's taxable income, right? It's, my goodness, what a pain, right?
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice to have cash walk in and just solve all those problems? If Uncle Sam's looking for his cut of an estate, you got the cash for it.
Yeah. Just more flexibility, more options.
Yeah.
And again, I'm going to go back to it. Certainty.
Yep. Nothing else creates certainty like that.
And simplicity. That's a theme that I've grown to just love about the infinite banking concept is that, and I've often told people, like, some of the analysis paralysis people have is because this is too simple.
Yeah.
We're going to take money you were putting over here, and we're just going to put it over here. Do you understand? Yes. Yeah. Okay, cool. You know, super simple.
That's as simple as it gets.
Embrace the simplicity.
Yeah. Well, so then as we kind of tie this together here, if those reasons weren't enough to get permanent life insurance, whole life insurance, there's also the living benefits, which is what this podcast is all about. What the infinite banking concept is all about is the living benefits, financing the things of life while you're going through life, starting today, and then, man, many years from now, when you graduate, you walk out, cash walks in.
Yeah. And, you know, some of the living benefits, and I always like to bring it up, and I'm adding it into my discussions with people, Dave, too, lately, because I've been really thinking about it's been on several episodes, is the passive income qualities. So it's got the banking qualities, no question, but the passive income qualities of these policies, right? Where adequate premium has been paid. And I'm now asking the question, I was like, because we know how much premium people can pay, right, folks? Like, we can look at your income. We can do a comparative analysis. Everyone's situation is different, but people's, you know, I've known single income people with kids that are paying very, very high premium.
Yeah.
Like higher than some, you know, maybe married couples where two people are working, right? And it's like, if I set this premium, you'll get used to paying this premium. If I set this premium lower, you'll get used to paying that lower premium. This one is 60% higher. Would you like 60% more tax-free passive income in retirement years? Mm. Passive income years?
Yeah.
Or would you like 60% less? So don't forget that, folks, is yes, we get the living benefits, we get the death benefit, protect our family. But over time, when we're older, this asset is going to be here to provide you and me and Dave and all of our clients, tax-free passive income.
Yep.
For life. Absolutely. At some level, relative to your premium, of course.
Yep. And all that time building up to that, you got to enjoy the living benefits. You get to continue to enjoy the living benefits, and then your family really enjoys those benefits after you're gone.
Sounds like a...
The benefits never stop.
Just endless benefits,
basically. Yeah.
And you know, it's, you think you get this and then you realize you didn't get it, and then you pay way more premium, and then you desire to keep paying more premium somehow. Like, oh, I just paid off this car. Okay, that's more premium now.
Yep.
Instantly becomes more premium.
Yep. It doesn't become a second payment for another car that maybe you don't need. Becomes more premium.
Yeah. I don't need any more cars.
You definitely don't.
You need a boat.
I do not need a boat. I need a
for
boat
that
like
one
a
month a year. You could use it up there. Yeah, right. July.
But it really is the only thing that redeems this place is the lake. So I should.
Yeah.
Yeah. A boat club is better.
Yeah, for sure.
Then I don't have to do any maintenance. Mm-hmm. I don't have to tow it. Nothing. Just show up and jump in.
Right.
Yeah. So maybe we'll look into that. Anyway, we're about a month or two out from enjoying the, although I saw people out on the lake yesterday. We were driving, Hannah and I were heading to dinner and saw some people out there with their Sea-Doos wearing wetsuits.
Yeah. Wetsuits.
Yeah.
You know, when we were at Fort Hood, there were days in March, we'd put our boat in the lake. So March to October, you could be on the water there.
Yeah.
It was pretty nice.
Not quite the same up here, but when it's nice, it's nice.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Yeah.
So, all right, buddy.
Yeah. So hopefully a different feel, a different look today.
Just and everybody who has life insurance already, now, like, hopefully that hit home on, you know, what a great thing you're doing for your family right now.
Yes,
and
for sure.
And your family's future and certainty.
I'll add just one last thing. It makes me feel more comfortable knowing that, you know, things will be, even if, you know, obviously it'd be just awful if I'm not here, but
obviously,
I mean, obviously, but you know,
yeah, at least
won't be that bad.
they won't have many other problems, you know, every other problem will be solved. Yeah. No, but you're doing all right while you're alive. So, stay healthy, my friends. Just stay healthy. That's right. Cause the longer you live, the more that gets paid out.
That's true.
Yeah.
And the more efficient your policy gets.
Yep. There you go. All right, man. Well, hey, everybody, have a good week. And we'll talk to you next week. Same time, same place. Until then, control your capital.
Or somebody else will.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. If you'd like to have a conversation with us to see how you can become your own banker, or if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to tackle on a future episode, please send us an email to davidandpaul@theibcguys.com.
And subscribe and leave us a review if you're on Apple. Follow and leave us a 5-star review if you're on Spotify. And please share this with your friends. We'll see you next week.